is the Lifted Life podcast. We created this show to help you live a lifted life. Let's do it.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. This is episode 43, and we'll be talking about failure.
Yeah, go ahead. Tell us all about all your failures.
Oh, I've never failed before. What are you talking about?
Well, good point. None of us really have if we rewrite the definition of failure. Some people, myself included, choose to believe that it's all about the way we define something such as a failure. And for me, it's all about making it either a blessing or a lesson. Pretty much everything you do, you can point it back to a blessing or a lesson or a little bit of both.
I feel like we say this a lot, but it is what you make of it, right? So, I mean, everyone has a different definition of failure. Maybe how much money you have in your bank account. Maybe if you're married or not, what your status is, if you're part of a club. I don't know how people measure success in their life, but usually I feel like it's either you're successful or failure. It's kind of binary.
I mean, which is ludicrous, right?
Yeah, but right. I feel like that, when you talk to someone, you know, either they think they're a success or a failure.
Based on some external thing.
Yeah, that they made up or they were introduced to or...
And they clung to it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I don't know. I just think that exploring the idea that failure is, or even rejection, I think of the word rejection too, and how it's not even real. No one can actually reject you. You can try something and people will say yes or no or maybe, but this idea of being rejected is a totally made up concept.
Well, you can reject yourself.
Yeah.
But that's it. No one else can truly reject you.
But people would say, yes, they can. I could say, you want to go on a date with me? And this person said no. So didn't they reject me?
I guess they rejected to go on a date with you. But as a human being, as a person, they can't reject you.
But don't you think this idea of rejection and failure is what puts...
Wait, who are you going on a date with?
That's all I'm talking about. Don't you think that that idea is what puts, like, it stops a lot of people in their tracks? They don't pursue their dreams or even a teeny tiny wish because this idea of failure or rejection, and yet it's not even real.
Yeah.
So a lot of people say this idea of, like, what would you do if you knew you wouldn't fail? And yet, when I was reading Big Magic, I loved what she said, which was, that's kind of airy-fairy and any idiot could pursue something if they knew they wouldn't fail. But what about this question? What would you do even if you knew you would fail? And the idea behind that is basically, what are you so passionate about, so curious about, that you would pursue it even though you may not, quote unquote, succeed or have extreme luck or master it? What would you still pursue? And I think that idea is the kind of passion and excitement and curiosity that I want to bring into my life. There's no guarantees.
I've heard the same thing with work. Like, what job would you do? And even if you weren't paid, what would you still want to do?
Right.
I think it falls along the same line as, what is your purpose? What's your passion?
Right. Well, what are you curious about? Mm-hmm. So much so that you would continue to look into it. And so, I think that this episode, more than anything, is kind of an invitation to reevaluate what you're fearful of, reevaluate what you think it means to be rejected, reevaluate what it means to fail, and instead allow yourself the courage to go after something, regardless of the fact that you may or may not make it, or it may or may not turn into something, right? Because that's what we're investing. That's our, it's not just about a money investment. It's typically this time and energy investment that scares us so much.
Okay, so let's do I guess it's not hypothetical, it's what I'm going to say, but you've been open about this, about you've had many businesses through your career.
Yes.
I'm not saying they're failures, but I could see someone listening to this and saying, okay, I want to open a pizza shop. Mm-hmm. And the customers never came. Or maybe the customers came, but they didn't make the kind of money they wanted to make and they couldn't keep it open, so they closed doors.
Yep.
I could see them saying, I failed. Mm-hmm. Like, I had this, I wanted this, I failed.
Yeah.
But I feel like you wouldn't say that, or you wouldn't believe that.
Well, you wouldn't either, would you?
No.
But right.
I'm talking about you.
No, the whole idea that I usually use is that it's a stepping stone. You learned something, for sure. You learned a lot of things. And you'll use that as you move forward onto your next endeavor. Now, maybe it won't be another business. Maybe you'll use it in your skill set as an employee, or maybe it'll be another business, but not a pizza business, or maybe it will be another pizza business. But for me, it was never two pizza businesses in a row. Not that I ever had pizza businesses, mm-hmm. but instead it was about what can I learn from this? And in the middle of each of the businesses that I was running before Lifted, I knew those weren't the be all end all, but I also didn't know what else to do. And so I just did the next right thing that was in front of me, the next thing that I could do. And I really do feel like each of the things I tried really did lead me to so much experience and so much knowledge that I then used for this Lifted business.
That's funny you use that word, because that's exactly what I was thinking, is the true commodity is experience. Mm-hmm. That's what you're gaining, whether it's a failure or not, based on whatever metric you want to compare it to. Mm-hmm. I think the true thing is the experience that you're gaining. That's the true value. That's where you're getting something and you can apply it to the next thing.
Exactly. And so a lot of times people won't do the thing because it's not the perfect thing. It's not the exact thing. They can't figure out what the exact thing is. But I just always did the thing that I could do. And that's what I challenge people to consider doing, is to reevaluate what it means to be a failure. For me, what truly feels like failing is failing to try. Being unwilling to put yourself out there, being unwilling to put yourself up against the criticism that will come, because people are bored and people love to jump on someone who's putting their neck out there. That's just what the people that are bored on the couch are going to go after you.
Because most likely they have the same aspirations, but they're scared.
Yeah.
Like I can say from experience, I've seen things and I'm scared. So mm-hmm. it's easier to criticize them, because it's like, well, if I can't do it, why are they doing it?
Yeah, this is the big Brené Brown and maybe somebody Roosevelt said, you know, if you're not in the arena getting your ass kicked, then I don't need to hear from you.
Yeah.
That's the biggest takeaway from Brené Brown that I've ever learned. And so that's why if it sounds a little cruel, like I'm like, yeah, these lazy couch potatoes. But it's true. I do get a lot of criticism because I continually put myself out there, and I have to be willing to deal with that. And I feel like this is another Elizabeth Gilbert kind of ism, which is that you get to say what you want about your art and I get to make my art. And that's the wonderful world we live in.
Because I think from the artist's point of view, it's more painful to keep that art in and not express it than it is to what anyone could say to you.
Which goes exactly back to, it's not about what would you do if you knew you wouldn't fail, but instead, what would you do even if you knew you would or could fail? And it's that same exact thing, because it's so uncomfortable to live a life of regret. It's so uncomfortable to fail yourself and keep it inside of you. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So it's really about, if you have a yearning, a desire, a pull to do something, my goodness, you've got to do it. It may not be the exact end result that you'd love to have, but it will be the next step. It will provide the stepping stone that leads you in the new direction that your soul is pulling you towards. So that's the invitation, is to feel the fear and do it anyway, which some people can get kind of in a tizzy about, but some fear is healthy, yada, yada. A lot of what we're talking about is just a fear of rejection, a fear of judgment that someone is going to make on you. And this isn't perfect. This isn't good enough. It actually is. It's not perfect, but it is good enough. And just put yourself out there, because
it's how you evolve, right? It's how you get through that and get to the next thing.
Exactly. Being willing to take a risk and take a chance.
Grow and expand, which is what I believe we're here to do.
Right. Yeah. Just like my notebook. What does it say? Take a chance. Let me look. Take chances. And I have a new notebook and it says take chances. And I asked you, I said, what does take chances mean to you?
Yeah, I'm sure I didn't give a very good answer.
It was like 40 minutes. And I don't even know what you said. This is my life, people. And if I try to say, hey, could you just tell me how you'd like to take chances? Then it's like, rawr, rawr, rawr. I don't know what to do with this guy, people. I have him pegged as an Enneagram 5. Now, if you have taken the Enneagram test and you want to share your number, I was just recently talking about it with my sister, who also tested as a 7, which is what I am. And I was really weirded out by that, because I thought, we're different enough. We shouldn't be the same number, but maybe we are. I don't know. Anyway, and
a nature versus nurture type thing. Like, wouldn't you be the same if you believe in nurture?
If you believe in nurture, Or do you believe in nature? Anyway, yeah, I don't know how it all works, and you don't seem like the type that really leans into a lot of personality tests. I think they're interesting.
I think it's interesting, but what I told you when you told me I was a 5, I told you you're a 9.9 out of 10. You said I was a 5. recently, I've been really exploring what's useful, and then we've done a whole podcast on it. But to me, it's not useful to be categorized when I believe I can make anything real that I want. It's like, yeah, I mean, the things you read to me, I do relate with those, and I'm sure you could peg me with those things, but also I have the choice to not accept that. Does that make sense?
No, I totally agree. And I think that, you know, it's the idea that your personality, it's just a boring excuse to say, well, it's my personality to be late. It's my personality to interrupt people. It's my personality to quit before. Yeah, it's just an excuse. So obviously I'm not inviting people to just find excuses for themselves. Instead, it's more about to understand yourself and know yourself a little better, and to see maybe even what some typical scapegoat type, I don't know.
But by all means, if it's useful, do it. Like,
right.
To me, it just didn't feel useful.
Which goes back.
I also didn't read the book. I mean, I just.
There's no book.
There's no book on Enneagrams?
I mean, there maybe is a book, but
you had to buy the book so you could take the test.
No, that's Strength Finder.
Same difference.
No. What about DISC? Have you taken your DISC test? A high 9 and a 4.2. I don't know what they are.
I know what that is.
Either. I haven't taken it, but a lot of people recommend it.
Okay.
Okay, people.
I don't know what that
back
is.
Back on track here. So, what I was going to say is, just like the idea of failure, you ask yourself, is it useful? Am I being hard on myself in a way that it's really not even useful that I'm categorizing this attempt as, oh, we got a dog situation. Sorry about that. We had a little technical difficulty that involved barking dogs, but we got that taken care of. So anyway, it's all about how you categorize it. So if you categorize something as a failure, how are you going to feel? And it really goes back to the story we're telling. The story you're telling about what matters to you, the story you're telling about what it looks like to fail or not to try or to have regrets. And so I would just challenge you to be a little gentler with yourself as you reevaluate that story you're telling, and to open up to new ways of thinking about the same topic. So something I'd love to do is take a quick minute to explore this idea of what would you do even if you knew you would fail.
Man, I was trying to jump to it before you could get to me first.
Oh, you wanted me to go first?
No, I don't mind going first.
Like, evaluate.
So, evaluating the last 38 years of my life, I think about work. I think about, you know, being a worker, working for a company, being an engineer, doing these things. And I'm very passionate about these things. But recently, I've been more of an entrepreneur and then investigating that. So maybe this is because I'm a 5. I'm thinking about work, but I would, even if I failed, I would do programming. Like, I really enjoy it, and I would swing the entrepreneurial aspect into it. And, you know, even in Lifted, I'm always coming at it from a programming point of view. Like, how can we automate some of the stuff we're doing and make it easier, or that kind of approach. So I think I would still do that, 'cause I do find joy in that. I guess to really boil it down, it would just be something that makes me happy. Like, it has to be something that makes me happy.
Well, I think that's a given. What is it that makes you happy? So happy that even if you suck at it, you would keep doing it. I think programming.
I know you say it's a given, but I think so many other people would say, no, it's whatever makes the most money. I'll do that. I don't care. I'll give up my happiness in exchange for money.
No, the whole idea is you're not going to make money. You're going to fail at it.
Well, it depends how you define failure, I guess.
You're going to fail at from every angle possible.
mine would be rejection. So everything I do, I'd be rejected. Like, no, that's wrong. That's wrong.
Okay. So for me, let me see if I can say what comes to mind for me, and then we'll see if it makes sense about like what we're even trying to say here. So what comes to mind for me is that I would continue to write, even if I never made money on it, even if I never got famous from it, even if no one read what I wrote. I would continue to write because it just makes me feel good about how I see the world. It makes me show up in the world in a better and different way. So I think that's what I mean by, and I understand that there's different definitions of true success or whatever, but I think we're talking about if there were no outer reward, no fame, no fortune, no attention, no eyeballs, no energy given to it. It's just what you give it. What would you continue to do? And that, I want to hear a little more from you about it now that I've clarified the question. But also for our dear listeners to consider, what would I want to do even if there was no energy, attention, fame, fortune, or anything? What would I continue to do just because I'm so curious and interested and energized by it?
Yeah, I guess it has to be programming then.
Because it helps you make sense of the world. It helps you, it gives you that feeling.
Yeah, it's that feeling of, I guess, accomplishment. But I don't,
connection. Connectivity.
Yeah.
Sense of the world. I mean, that's how it is for me, but it's a totally different topic. And so I think that's the invitation too, is just mm-hmm. to evaluate what is it that helps me make sense of who I am and this world altogether. And reevaluating, because maybe you will or won't succeed or fail, but those are just generic terms that the world has given us. So don't be so bogged down by them, and instead allow yourself that gift of exploring your interests, because they are your interests for a reason. Like, there's nudges, I think, from the universe to kind of give you a little more direction, because not everyone has the same nudges. Obviously, you're over here talking about coding and programming, and I'm talking about stringing words together in a way that's meaningful for me. We all have our own path.
Yeah. You're talking about the nudges, and I was thinking about like your intuition, or when you talk about those nudges, I feel like that's intuition, something pushing you, saying, explore this, you should explore this. And some people believe it's your future self telling through time piercing, coming back, saying, do this, but that's a whole different topic. But I think it's interesting to explore those nudges.
Yeah,
I think usually I reject them because of worry of failure.
Most people.
Or they just sound silly. Like, they sound like not possible.
Right. And that's the invitation today, I think, is to open yourself up to the breadcrumbs, to the nudges. I like to feel it more of a pull than a push. I don't think nudges push us. I think they pull us like a magnetization. What is pulling you? What do you feel yourself just being drawn to? If you could release the idea of success and failure and all of that, what would you find yourself wanting to learn more about and to explore? Do that. Right now. Pause the show. Oh, that reminds me. I didn't have a review ready to have as our spotlight. Ooh, there's a really long one. I don't know if I can. I'm just going to make today's. Well, today's episode can just be brought to everyone by Mood Boosting Blend. It's the yellow label, the one that's not a probiotic. So you may or may not have known that we were selling this vitamin blend, and we actually pulled it from the shelf because we had some hiccups as far as the direction of our brand. I thought we'll just focus on probiotics. But apparently a ton of people really loved the product and got really mad at it and said, don't do that. And so we said, okay, let's reevaluate. If you really like this blend, I really would like to add K2 to the mix because it has D3 in it. And all of my research since creating the product has pointed back to, you should have added K. Oh, that's a failure. But instead we just said, okay, we're going to pivot. We're going to pull it off the shelves. We're going to make the formula right according to what we think is best for our customers. And then we will relist it. And so it's been quite the process. We're getting ready to launch some beautiful new photos of that product. So keep your eyes out for that. They're going to be hitting the shelves soon.
Virtual shelves.
The virtual shelves soon. So yeah, this episode's brought to you by the Mood Boosting Blend, the little product that could, that said, I'm not going down without a fight, because all these customers were like, please don't get rid of it. So we do have 3 probiotics and 1 vitamin blend, and that's the yellow label. You'll have to check it out.
We get this question often. Can they take them together, blend and a probiotic?
Yeah, that's a good combination. Yeah. 1 probiotic plus 1 blend. We also get people asking us, can I take 2 probiotics? Because I like the strains and species in this one and that one. And I always say you can either do 1 today, one tomorrow, and do every other day. Or if you are comfortable with doing two digestively, some people say, whoa, 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 two digestively is too much for me. And I say, don't do it then. But if it's comfortable for you, you can take one of each, alternate. You could even do half of one and half of the other. And you can, of course, open the capsule and mix it into applesauce. And if you don't know what we're talking about, we actually, before we even started a podcast, have a company where we have mood focused probiotics. And so a big part of our company vision is not just saying, here, take this pill, you'll feel better, but helping you to elevate your mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual life. So that is what the Lifted Life podcast is all about.
I know it's the end of the episode and you're trying to wrap it up, but I just realized this podcast was something that I said I would do whether I failed or not.
Yeah.
I think it was something I was very scared of. It wasn't comfortable for me to speak in front of this mic. We had many, many false starts.
We've had many false starts.
If we were to actually release those, I think you could call those failures. But
or even if we go back and listen to episode one,
yeah,
we might
be a little rough.
Yeah.
But I've found this to be a really good release for me, as far as like creative release, I guess. This is something I'm not comfortable doing, but I'm beginning to enjoy it. So maybe I'd just be a podcaster, whether I failed or not.
You would?
Yeah.
I, for one, need more people to listen to the show or I'm going to quit because I need some gratification. Let's be honest. I'm a 7. So that means I like the attention. It gives me energy. I'm extroverted. And so when people say, I love this episode or that episode, it fuels me to say, okay, people are listening. I'm going to keep doing this. This is not a personal project for me, people. This is a service, a free service. What?
I've been doing this new exercise that Jesse came out with called the manager.
Okay.
You make a column, two columns in your notebook.
Mm-hmm.
One is what you're going to do. And the second column is what the universe is going to do.
Okay.
And you decide, basically you're making a deal. Like, I'm going to do this, but I expect you to do this.
Okay.
So what I'm going to write in the universe side tomorrow when I journal is for a fan to write us what topic they'd like to hear us talk about.
That's what we need to hear.
Yeah, that's what I want.
I mean, otherwise,
you can write whatever you want, but that's what I'm going to write.
Yeah, and being the manager means that you decide who does what. Is that the idea?
No, you're not the manager. Like, the somebody else is the manager.
Oh.
I'm doing this, and you're going to do this. But you can write whatever you want.
Isn't that what a manager says? I don't really know. I've never really had a job. I had a job once. It was the worst day of my life. It really was. Remember, I came home with that migraine, and I was on the couch, and I was like, I will sell. No, but you know, we all have gifts. Working at a job isn't one of mine.
It depends how you define work, but yeah.
Well, yeah, now I'm working like 80 hours a week, just as long as I don't have to work for the man. That's the entrepreneurial way. Anyway, well, you know what? I'm working on that and I'm going to be hiring a VA really soon.
Yes.
So when the kids go back to school in September, our kids don't go back till September. Got some really big plans on the docket for Lifted. I mean, things are going to change. The way you've been knowing and loving it is not going to keep happening, but...
You're talking to me or the fans?
Yes.
Nothing's changing for me.
The way that we... Nothing's changing for me. Bull honky. So anyway, everything's changing and it's amazing. Embrace the change. That's something you used to be really terrible about. Let's be honest. I would move furniture or something. You come home and be like, oh my God, what? I just can't. You would freak out.
Now our daughter does it.
Now our daughter is totally the gift of like change. Yeah. But you've gotten better about it. You don't freak out about change as much. Anyway, things are changing. I love change. It's my favorite. And I especially need some things to change. But the good news is that we can continue to show up for you in our Facebook group, The Lifted Life, on the Lifted Life podcast here, because we're going to be delegating out some of the other things that are not reliant on just us to show up for. And so, you know, there's no need for us to splatter ourselves so thin and then not be able to show up for this podcast or not be able to show up in the group in a powerful way or the email list. Make sure you're on our email list. If you go to liftednaturals.com, you can sign up there. It's actually a new website. I haven't even announced that online either. I've just been busy with other stuff. So lots of exciting stuff. Stay tuned because it's only going to get more awesome. So thanks for tuning in this week. We hope you enjoyed the show. See you next week.